Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. We come to you tonight with sharing a little more about our stories. You know, we heard a lot about their stories, but it's high time that we, us black melanated people, start telling our stories. But before we get into our conversation tonight, we only have a few people with us this evening. Hopefully some more will join us later. But we have a strong brother by the name of Rico Crowley from God-Given Hands is present with us in the Zoom call, as well as my partner, Brother Satari Jahi, co-host of the podcast, well, we call it the Simulcast. But in any case, we want to welcome everybody to the podcast, and we're going to get started. But before we start our discussion, we always have another discussion, another reading by our brother Satari Jahi. So, Brother Satari, you got it, sir.
All right. We always open up our podcast with reading from Daily Motivations for African-American Success, written by author Dennis Kimbrough, who also wrote Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, which is a blueprint for eliminating poverty in our families. And it's a well-put-together book. He also had another book he put out called What Makes the Great Great. And he might have a book since then. But anyway, we read from Dennis Kimbrough's book. February 27, Fast Food. All that you accomplish or fail to accomplish in life is a direct result of the images you hold in your mind. Hortense Candy, president of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. We can never advance any further than the thoughts we allow to occupy our minds. It's important that you feed your mind with nourishing thoughts just as you feed your body with nourishing food. Let me illustrate. In the heart of a thriving city was a hot dog vendor who sold fine quality hot dogs. Business was booming. Customers loved his product, and they kept coming back for more. The owner believed in his business and the need for someone to do what he was doing. He was so busy advertising and selling hot dogs that he didn't even have time to read the newspaper or listen to the radio. Consequently, he never heard a word about the recession or the need to cut back. As long as he continued to offer his hot dogs, his customers brought them. Then one day, his well-educated son informed him of the economic recession. The son told him that people didn't have money to buy his hot dogs. The old vendor believed this news, so he quit advertising. He began ordering fewer hot dogs. He removed his roadside signs. And sure enough, people stopped coming to his stand. Customers stopped buying his hot dogs, and he went broke. Take notice of what you feed your mind. Bad thoughts are what some people call junk food. It has no nutritional value. Not only are you what you eat, you are what you think. Today, I will place my mind on a mellow diet with the thoughts of success and prosperity. So that's our reading for the night. And, you know, that's so true. You know, when you listen to these people, you got people coming to your business, and when you listen to these people to tell you, oh, there's a recession going on. Anybody going to be buying your stuff? You know, and if you believe what they say, and sure enough, it'll happen. So be mindful, as again the reading says, be mindful not only what you eat, what you think, because thoughts are things, and very powerful things, when you put them together with definite purpose and a burning desire to do what you want. So back to you, David.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, sir, for that. You know, speaking of the mind and what people hear and how we react to what we hear or what we are taught. And, you know, of course, everybody know I'm in media. Media is a powerful tool. It persuades people to go this way or that way. We have a way to reach massive amount of people with our opinions, or one might say our thoughts. And unfortunately, because media has a way of persuading people to believe this and to believe that, and when you've been fed a bill of goods or a bill of lies, people tend to buy into that. And I always use this analogy is this. Now, by me being in media, I can take anybody who's actually on this call or anybody I choose and say, I heard through a reliable source that you did this and you do that. And would you believe that a majority of the people will believe that? And unfortunately, a lot of people that you know personally would believe that because it's in print, it's in the media, it's in the news. And they would say, I thought something was wrong with that. I thought this and this, that, you know, they just formed their opinions. But a lot of people will go away and believe in it. They may be very upset with me, but then again, the damage has been done. And unfortunately, in this country, the United States, and I'm going to use this never analysis, is this. Now, I know you all heard of Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson. I know you heard of Bill Cosby, Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jordan, and the list can go on and on and on. Unfortunately, through media, each and every one of those persons that I mentioned has been slandered through the press, through media. And then you could be how one might say a secluded person in a secluded area when you're not around us or black people that much. And you hear what the media is saying about us. Now, you may form this opinion. I don't care how much money you give those people, how well they can sing, how fast they can run, how educated they're supposed to be. Ain't none of them no good. Just because the way media portrayed them, in other words, the way they portray us. That's their opinion. And then unfortunately about the media is that most of us, those who look like us, not only will believe it, but they will carry the story on. Unfortunately, we have a not too high opinion of ourselves as a collective. But then again, that's why the National Black Unity News is here, because we are going to change that narrative. We have changed that narrative. See, we put out a publication that is by us and is for us. We put out a publication that is solution oriented. We put out a publication by people who look like us, and not only look like us, but they write from their hearts and their experiences. And what else is so unique about us, about the National Black Unity News, we are self-supporting. We support ourselves. We're not dependent on any outside resources to sustain us. And so for those of you who are on Facebook Live, those of you who are on Blog Talk Radio, I want you to listen to something very carefully. I often tell you that we own less than 1% of the media. Yes, that's a small voice, but yet it's still a voice. And our voice is being heard not only here in the United States, but all over the world. If you want to keep on getting that propaganda, those lies about you and about me and about us, then I strongly suggest that you start doing a little research. Check out what they're saying and why they're saying it. But also, stop looking at outside, so start looking within who you are and what you're doing. But most important, check us out. Check these stories out before you start putting out propaganda that you really have no knowledge about. And see, you know, sometimes you can be around people all your life and you just don't know. But before we get into our conversation, I just want to say a little something that happened to me today. This has been an extremely long day for me. My first meeting was at a restaurant, a black restaurant called Miss Shirley's.
And I met a young lady there. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing *6.
As a family member with the National Black Unity News. And then I had an old friend and another friend who picked me up from the restaurant today. And one of the gentlemen, I see he's on here now, Mr. Zeke Stewart. And we arrived at Sankofa. It's a children's museum. Powerful stuff is in there. And I met the curator or the owner, and she shared a lot of information about where she'd been, where they are now. And one thing she did share was, you know, the lack of support that she was getting. And I strongly believe that we will be working with her and to let people know how powerful this museum is, how unique it is, and why we need to get our children, our people involved with this museum. Because like I said before, if we don't start telling our story, as we have seen from the past, they will tell their stories or their spin on our stories. And so again, you know, this has been a very grateful day. And then I had went to another meeting right after that meeting with Mr. Zeke Stewart and another brother named Ken Allen. And we had a nice conversation about quite a few things. And I heard some more amazing stories. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I have a powerful story. My journey been crazy. But like I said, most people, when they look at their own journey, it's been remarkable and it's been a whole lot of challenges in life. But I'm not going to tell this brother's story, but I met a brother today who had a real rough, I thought I had it kind of rough. It's nowhere near comparison. That's why it's so important to tell our story. This brother has been through so much. I'm not going to tell his, you know, so I'll let him tell it one day. But this brother was an orphan. It was an orphan, and he had a major illness. Then he went to war and came back broken up, missing pieces and stuff like this. And then had difficult finding work. I mean, this brother told, I mean, and it was so amazing how this brother comes through. And this brother out here still, and now he's still serving us as a people. Have a lot of wonderful things coming down the pipe. And so, again, and I was inspired. See, now, from today, sometimes we know we get the little thing we call the poor little old me, you know, why things happen to me and why this and things just not going our way. You know, we all get down in the blues sometimes. But see, it's stories like this sometimes inspire me so much because when I hear this brother, think about this brother's story from this point forward, it's just going to get me up and running because it could have been so much worse, so much worse. And so, again, I want to thank Brother Zeke Stewart and Ken Allen for a great meeting and the young lady that's coming on board with us. You know, I want to thank all of them and the curator from the Sankofa Museum because, like I said, it's been an amazing day. It's been an extra long. I've been up since 2:30, so y'all have to bear with me today. But in any case, today, we want to continue to talk about our stories because, like I say, this still, as they call it, Black History Month. But again, you know, it is so important that we share our story, tell our stories. Not, you know, because, like I say, our future generation need to know from hear from us. And I have also documented myself, and those who are in the National Black Unity News are now documented as well. And this paper will be circulating from this point on, as long as there's the internet. The National Black Unity News will be circulating. And so, again, I just want to give a shout out to all of those people who participated and participating in the National Black Unity News. We have done some great and wonderful things, and things in the future look very bright for us because we have a lot of work to do, but there's a lot of great and wonderful things are happening to us as people. Soldiers are sprouting up all over the place with great ideas, solution-oriented ideas. And where I sit, you know, it's coming together now. I think change is in the air, you know. Finally, you know, we can sit down, break bread together, reason with one another, and join forces with one another because we now know we cannot do this by ourselves. It takes the village. We are that village. And it's people all over the world, all over out throughout the diaspora. It's coming forth. Now, we got a brother on here right now who's from out of Panama. Brother Ross Buki, how are you today, sir? Can you unmute yourself?
Yes, sure. I'll give thanks and praises for life. I don't know if you can hear me well. Can you hear me well?
Yes, very well. Yes, sir.
Yep, me say good afternoon, good evening, and a pleasure always to be with the family. I see you all as a family of my family, because first I look at the common of ourselves, the struggle and what we've been through, and the idea and the way, the north we are looking, the way we are looking forward. I see us as a family. I see I and I as one. All I have to give is love. All I have to share is understanding. All I have to be here is to be an example for all the difficulties that we have been going through heading forward. But I have a good news, and I was sending you today some big building here in Panama. That's called a Manzana. The JRDC and myself, which is Brother Cliff, part of the newspaper, the Black Unity News, myself, I guess he's on, but I didn't want to say it without him, because he has in the better words, but I am doing the facilitating for having the JRDC back here, and that included all of us that is on this platform is welcome to join our event. And I know Brother Cliff Kamuba, he will also give more details. We want to bring the town all and the way how our Black people should be moving forward as organization, because the organization, sometimes we see them not together and the work is not been done, and yet we are organized. So there's still something that we have to put together. So Brother Cliff and myself and the JRDC are planning to welcome in my Black brother Pan-Africanist from the United States, where you all had to come down. And Brother Hacking is also welcome. And we want to have all the Black Unity News here on that day. We actually want to have a fair, like a market for Pan-African, where you can bring your T-shirts and all the different things that, you know, ones and one have. So I think Brother Cliff will give up more detail. As the time go by, this will be taking place in May, which is the Black Month here. It will be taking place May day. 18th to the 20th. On the 21st, there is a parade here in one of the Black community town there called the Rio Bajo, which is 1,000 of people who came out on parade, which is they dress in Africa clothes and African music, and it's such a great ball. So we also invite in ones and ones. You know, so communicate Rasbuki Gmail, Rasbuki Gmail, and with, of course, Brother David Murphy and the Black News will update, but we'll be joining hands and heart together to do this for the unity and to let us be together as one family. Stronger we will be for tomorrow.
I appreciate that, brother. Appreciate your input. Brother Cliff, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Now, you would have called on me right after I finished stuffing my face with some food.
Well, that's because you weren't sharing, sir. So, you know. But in any case, you know, Brother Cliff. Now,
that's right.
I know I'm not gonna. I'm gonna let you get back to your meal, but I want you to share a little something. Brother Rasbuki just said some things are coming up, but you have quite a few things coming up, you know, happening around for us throughout the diaspora. Can you share a little thing what's happening that's coming to Baltimore and some of the things that you're doing?
Okay, let me see. Let me get my head straight here. As far as the things that are coming up immediately, well, let's see. I'll try to go in chronological order. First of all, I haven't yet set it up, but my plan is to have the next meeting of the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition sometime in March. The previous meeting, I still have to get the minutes and all done and sent out to everyone. So I will work on doing that this week. Finally, after having been tugged in all sort of different directions the last week or so, last Saturday, I'll start with that. Last Saturday was the memorial service for veteran Black Panther Marshall Eddie Conway, who passed on to the ancestors, I believe, on February 13th. He spent 43 years and 10 months in a Maryland penitentiary after having been framed for the murder of two Baltimore City police officers He was a leader in the Black Panther Party here in Baltimore. He at least got an opportunity to breathe free air for just under 9 years before passing on to the ancestors, in part because of health issues that his 43-year, 10-month stay in prison no doubt contributed to make it worse. But there were a number of people at that celebration of life for him. Paul Coates, who is the founder of Black Classic Press and was a leader in the Panthers back then. His son, Ta-Nehisi Coates, was there. Singer Navasha Daya, formerly of Fertile Ground, was there, and she sang. Poet Laini Mataka offered a poem. Danny Glover was there, and he said a few words. American Indian Movement activist Ward Churchill was there, and he also spoke. And the event was emceed more or less by Mama Rashida Foreman Bay. So there was a good number of people there at the it was a church in, I guess it's a church in the 3100 block of Charles Street. So just below Johns Hopkins University, there was an overflow room. I know there was an overflow room because I wound up getting shuttled into the overflow room when I came out of the men's room, and I found out that the main sanctuary was full. So there was an overflow room as well as the main sanctuary. So a lot of people were there. A lot of Baltimore area activists were there as well, including a lot of people who had been in the battle to get Eddie freed from prison back in the 1980s, 1990s to early 2000s. So that was the first thing. The second thing is, of course, again, the plans that I have for holding our next meeting of the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition, probably sometime in mid-March. The next things that are happening, I guess, kind of kick off in April. Dr. Ron Daniels and the Institute of the Black World is having their State of the Black World Conference in Baltimore. I believe it's at the Baltimore Convention Center. And that will be in mid to late April of this year. There also is the, what they're calling the PAC 8 Part 1, which is the first part of what they're calling the 8th Pan-African Congress, even though there were technically two 8th Pan-African Congresses in 2014. There's a lot of controversy around that. But Dr. Arikana Chimbori-Kwal, former African Union Ambassador to the United States, is spearheading the conference this year, which will be in Zimbabwe. They may move it out of April and into May, depending on how much preparation they need to continue to make. So there's the possibility it may get pushed back into May or maybe even into June. But the plan is to go on ahead and have this Congress, as she is calling it, in Zimbabwe to concentrate on the idea of, first of all, developing an African Union 6th region headquarters somewhere out of the continent for the purposes of representing the diaspora, also to put together a means by which the diaspora, those of us outside of the continent, can have our words, our representation made in the African Union, whether it's through the Permanent Representatives Council, which is what she's pushing for, or some other means. And then there are a few other things around dual citizenship, right to return, investment opportunities for African diasporans in the continent that will be discussed at this Pan-African Congress. And again, that'll either be in May or June. No, in April, I'm sorry. In April or May, maybe in June. Ross Buki, of course, talked about the plan to hold a Pan-African town hall or a series, actually a weekend of events in Panama around the time of Malcolm X's birthday, which is Friday, May 19th. But the idea is to, around that, have a combination of a Pan-African town hall, myself and perhaps Professor David Horn of SRDC will be traveling to Panama, assuming everything goes according to plan where we're trying to set it up, and you know, things can always happen. But the idea is for at least one of us, and maybe more of us, depending on who all is able to travel and make the trip, to go down to Panama, take part in this weekend. For me, the primary event will be the Pan-African Town Hall, the idea of that being to bring the grassroots Pan-African community in Panama to a gathering so that we can start to work on how that community can not only organize itself, bring its different organizations together, perhaps form coalitions like what we're trying to do in Maryland, but also find a way to get essentially that community represented along with other pockets of the diaspora on the world stage, whether it's in the African Union, UNIA, Pan-African Federalist Movement, whatever global body winds up taking the flag of the diaspora to the world stage. We want to make sure we get as many grassroots communities involved in that as possible, so it's not a case of a bunch of treetop activists deciding who's going to represent the people on the ground, but the people on the ground actually taking a hand in determining who their spokespeople and who their leaders are going to be. So that's the main focus of this particular weekend for me. Now, I know that there will be other things that will be going on because that is, I believe, the Pan-African Cultural Month in Panama. So it will be done in conjunction with a number of these other events. So as a result, we're talking about a potential 3 or 4 day weekend, which may even involve more than one gathering of the people. But the big thing for me will be gathering the people together, so that, not just so that we can tell them what's going on, but so that they can tell us, and so that we can work out a way to get their voice out of just the favelas, the barrios, and the ghettos and the inner cities around the diaspora, but to get them out to the world stage so that the United Nations will have to start listening to us, the African Union will have to start listening to us, and all these other global bodies that claim to want to create a unified Africa, a peaceful, unified world will have to listen to us. So that's the main idea around those things. The Permanent Forum People of African Descent will be May 30th to June 2nd in New York City. So that's the last thing I'm gonna throw out there. And the Permanent Forum was created under the auspices, I believe, of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, who was, may still be, Michelle Bachelet, who was former president of Chile. She had been an activist in Chile when Salvador Allende was assassinated, and she had actually been taken captive by the Pinochet regime and tortured for some time. And then she became president. And after she was done being president of Chile, she's now in the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. And her office had a lot to do with helping to, I think, bring into being the working group of experts on people of African descent. And now, as a result of the number of UN consultations where people kind of threw some darts at the United Nations, you got permanent forum on indigenous people, you got permanent forum on this, permanent forum on that. Where's your permanent forum of people of African descent? And maybe that can be a starting point for actually giving people of African descent, African people, the African diaspora, a voice in the UN. And so now they have created this permanent forum, People of African Descent. They had a meeting in Geneva in December, and that was part one. And part two will be in New York on May 30th to June 2nd. I have forwarded an email that Sister Tomiko sent to me about the permanent forum, and I sent it to a number of people on the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition list. And I've sent it, and you, Baba David, you should have gotten it also, and a number of other people should have gotten it. And then when Thunderbird lets me send out another mass email, because they only let me send out so many at a time, I've got another one that just has the website. You can get there from the other email, too. The other one that just has the website, a little bit more detailed, direct information on how to apply to register for that permanent form. That's in there. So after everybody looks at that, there may be a desire for a group of people to get together. If they all want to go up to New York for the permanent forum, you might be able to even arrange a caravan, a convoy, a carpool, something like that, so that people can go up to New York and we can kind of represent the force. So I think that's all I had in my little pea brain for now.
Yeah, before I let you go now, the event that's going to be happening at the convention center, who are some of the keynote speakers? Do you know?
I am not 100% sure off the top of my head. I know that Dr. Ron Daniels tends to attract a fair number of people. He attracts people along the lines of Dr. Leonard Jeffries and a few other people. I think one person who is in a high position in the Institute of the Black World is a gentleman named Don Rojas. And a lot of people may not know who Don Rojas is. He was once the general secretary or the communications director for the administration of Maurice Bishop when he was the president of Guyana. That is before crazy stuff started happening in Guyana and Maurice Bishop was assassinated. And then Ronald Reagan sent in the Marines that later on was dramatized by Clint Eastwood and Heartbreak Ridge. But the reason why I remember Don Rojas is because I was at a previous Institute of the Black World event years ago in D.C. And Don Rojas spoke about the participatory democracy process that was being established by the Maurice Bishop administration in Grenada. And it was a very aggressive plan to make sure, not just to put it out there and say, hey, you know, you want to participate in the electoral process, you can, like in the United States. They put it out there, say you can come, and then they put all these barriers to make it hard for you to do it. In Grenada, they facilitated it, and they expected you to participate. So I'm hoping to find out a little bit more about that because that could be a model for how we move forward as far as the grassroots Pan-African town halls in the future. So I know he at least is going to have Don Rojas there. He should have, I think, people like Dr. Jeffries there, and there should be other luminaries there. When I get some more information on that, and I have some on my emails, I'll see if I can get that together, and I will send that out as well to yourself, and then you can send it to whoever else wants some information. And if anybody wants some more information, they can put the email in the chat, and I'll see about getting that to them that way also.
Okay, great. Fantastic. I appreciate you, sir. You're always on the front line. Okay, so we're going to move right along. We have several people that joined us since we started this podcast, well, simulcast, as I like to call it. And I always say we're going to talk about our story, you know, sharing some of the things that who we are, what we do, and why we do the things that we do that can help us, to help our people. And like I said before, there's a lot of stuff taking place now. A lot of organizations are finally coming together, or at least recognizing one another. And change is coming. Change will come no matter what. But for us, as far as I can see, it's for the better. And when I say for the better, that means that we are now reasoning with one another. We're sitting down at the table with one another. We are joined forces. We're collaborating with one another. We are taking each other more seriously than we did in the past. Okay, there's some background noise. I'm going to take care of it. Okay. Brother Hakeem, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Great morning. Great morning. Great afternoon, evening. How's everybody?
Yeah, you just came in on time, too. I was just asking, I know you may have a little bit more information. I was just asking Brother Cliff about the events coming in at the convention center, and I wanted to know, asked him, who are some of the guest speakers going to be? I think you have a list of those, don't you?
Yes, I do. thank you. Hold on. Let me come on camera here. Pardon me. All right. Greetings, everybody. Somebody's background on the sound. Well, good evening, everybody. Let me mention some of the diplomats that will be in Baltimore. Yes, we are very pleased to be a part of this. A few of us have been invited to be on the host committee, so we are looking forward to that. We think ideologically and the opportunity to be a part of this is going to be historic. Let me just give a quick background. Last time that they did this, I'm not totally sure, but it perhaps may have been 2016. There may have been another one, but they had about 1,000 people. That was in Newark, New Jersey. So those that's going to be present is the president of Ghana. I believe the prime minister of Bermuda. I know the prime minister of Jamaica, Bermuda, Jamaica, Grenada. They're doing something with Grenada. I believe that there's a former prime minister of Grenada, and they're going to do a tribute to Maurice Bishop, Brother Cliff, is that correct, of Grenada? Or I think I see
I'm guessing it should be Maurice Bishop because Don Rojas was in his administration.
Oh, right. Yes, he's on the board, right?
Yeah, he's a higher up in IBW. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, Ron Daniels doesn't seem to go anywhere without him.
Right. Okay, thank you for clarifying. let's see. So, Mia Motley, she's Bermuda, right? Correct? Barbados. Mia Motley, Barbados. And I see Miss Barbara Stewart and his wife, Jerry, Mama Jerry Stewart on here. Who else? Mia Motley and the Vice President of Colombia. The Vice President of Colombia as well. Those are some of the first and second day speakers that I saw. Danny Glover as well, and the rapper Akon, he's doing some work in Senegal, so he's supposed to be there. And I know a few of them have confirmed, so those are some of the big invited names. Danny Glover, yeah. All right.
Yeah, I appreciate that, y'all. Sir.
Great. You're welcome.
Yeah, because, I asked you this because, you and Brother Cliff, because, even our leaders of country or diplomats from various countries are finally coming, it's coming together to, not only uplift one another, but uplift us as well from the top down. Now, from the bottom up, we have people all over the place like ourselves, Brother Cliff and you and so many of us fighting from both ends. And now what you see, things are coming together in the middle. And so, the future looks bright for us because we now know. I don't know, but this thing is recording anyway, so I ain't going to worry about that. It records automatic. But in any case, the point I was trying to make is this. We're coming from the top end and from the bottom end, and we're all going to meet in the middle very soon, real soon. And things are happening, not just locally, but throughout the entire diaspora. We have people with the National Black Unity News because of people like Brother Cliff and Brother High Key and Kim Poole and so many others who traveled through all over the world and taking the National Black Unity News with them. And so what I'm saying to those who are with us who have participated in the National Black Unity News, we are going far and wide. And it's a blessing because, even we are playing our part in the whole scheme of things because we are one of the few publications that is not, I like to use the word kept, not kept by anybody. And so therefore, we're self-supporting and we're getting our message out there. And because I'm the publisher, people respond to me. And it's been all good because, like I say, we all talking about unity, but the National Black Unity News is a symbol to a lot of people of unity. Because it's by us and it's for us, So again, I want to thank all of you who participate in the National Black Unity News and those who support us and by subscriptions, those who support us by coming to our podcast on Mondays and Tuesdays and on Blog Talk, YouTube and everything else. So, we appreciate everyone. But what makes us unique is the individuals that participate with us. And this one young lady, because I was talking about her earlier today. I was telling people about when I was a little boy, I didn't see images that looked like me. You know, I didn't see any black children, you know, in media, period, you know. And there was a few black people on in the movies and on television. They had one black show, and that was called Amos and Andy, and you didn't want to be too much like that. And plus, I was a child. I couldn't, you know, relate to them anyway. But we had Tarzan, and I couldn't relate to them. You know, we had us rooting for Tarzan. And but now, today, this day, you know, our children have options. They have choices. They have other narratives that they can look to. And Joy Boy, could you unmute yourself, please? Miss Ford, can you unmute yourself? And hopefully she'll come on. And the reason why I called on her, because she's the author of many books, and they're designed for our youth. And she tells story, inspirational stories and enlightening stories, of, you know, that our youth can, you know, understand and be a part of. There she go.
Good evening to everyone.
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, and thank you for
all right.
Telling everyone about myself, that I write children's stories, and I enjoy doing that. So it is an honor to work with the children, and I'm actually tutoring some of the children and having them to read some stories that I haven't published just yet and see what they think of them and help them to learn to read. We have a lot of work to do. I tell you, a lot of our children need to learn to read earlier, and they definitely need their parental involvement. Because even as I tutor some of these children, I can just tell upon coming back that the parents have not done anything with them since I left. So we need to work more at home on reading. And definitely the schools are trying to do, I guess, what they can do with as many students as they have in a classroom, maybe one of the problems.
Yeah.
Reading, you know, is so important.
But you're kind of breaking up on us, Mr. Ford.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes, much better.
But calling me, that's why. But I just want to say, yeah, I want to continue writing stories for these children. We need to, you know, get to the libraries and check out some of these book fairs they're having. And I'm even hoping to host a book fair, because there are many people in our community who do write books for children. I was at an event at, I think it was Windsor Mill Middle School, and they had an excellent program where they sold books. Black authors came out and shared their books. So I'm looking forward to maybe hosting something like that. And maybe that would be something you could help me with, David. So I'm looking forward to that.
Matter of fact, I met a young lady today who has, you're probably familiar with it, Sankofa Children's Museum. And I talked to her that y'all would make a good fit with each other. I'm gonna introduce you to her so that once you go to her facility and you can host events there, and they get a double whammy. Not only could they purchase books and read about your books, but they also can go through the museum at the same time. So we work something out, you know, because like I said, this is about uplifting one another. You know, it's time for us to, you know, share. Not only whip each other, but support one another. And at this point, ladies and gentlemen, because like I said, it's been a long day for me. If anybody on here, because like I said, your story is extremely important to us. And when we share our story, you know, no matter how small or how great, or you may think it's insignificant, because like I said earlier today, I listened to someone's story. And I was truly inspired by the story, how people, some of the atrocities that some of us have to go through, but yet we're still here fighting. We're still standing in the gap for one another. And I find that truly amazing. But, you know, that's a lot of our story, but everybody, like I say, have different ways of, you know, the roads that we travel is totally different. And we have people on here now, and I'm not going to call everybody up, but there's a young lady on here. I see Beverly Williams on here. Now, she have an office supply store and supply, and I've been knowing Beverly, I don't know, 30, 40 years almost. And even till this day, even when I met her then, I thought she was so unique because she's a pioneer. So I'm a printer by trade, and we deal with paper. See, paper is an industry within itself, and I do know this. The paper industry, until this day, is still closed off to us. You don't see too many people in the paper business, black people, anywhere. But she dived into that industry by having office supplies. And since I've been in business over 40, said, yeah, I don't think I can count them on one hand that I know that people who's in that industry. And she just happened to be one of them. And not only is she, well, way back then, she's still doing it, you know, sustaining it. So I appreciate you, Beverly, because to me, you know, when it comes to black history, you are our history. The same thing with my brother Zeke Stewart on here, been around for so long, you know, helping people to reach their objectives, their dreams. And he's still out here doing things. This brother got a lot of great things coming up. So you'll be hearing about him real soon. And like you say, Brother Hockey, Brother Cliff, and the rest of us, Rico Crowley, who served and need us in the home. Man, like I said, we have a wealth of talent, a wealth of it. And like I said, just a small crew of it. This, like I said, this is only a handful of the people involved with the National Black Unity News. But what I'm finding is this. Like I say, we have people all over this country, all over this world doing great and wonderful things. And continue to share our narrative, tell our stories. And yes, black history is good, because like I said, I didn't have that when I was coming up. And it does serve some purposes. But Joy mentioned something earlier today, and I just want to share something with you about, you know, we had a guest on a couple of weeks ago. Brother Edwin Advent, and he run this school called Collegian Boys for something. Boys, I forgot the exact title. But the Baltimore City School Board sent him a notice that they're going to shut them down, or they're thinking about shutting them down. And then they recently, we went to a meeting, and he'd been on the radio blasting the situation. And unfortunately, they took a vote last Thursday. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Now, if I'm not sure, somebody need to, let me see, I'm going to see if I can do that. But, I went online and looked to see how many members were a part of this school board. Because I was just very curious how they could think about shutting a charter school down. You know, which is under their jurisdiction, and they have and this school has such a success rate. But then you look at our public schools, and they are failing just about every category, especially the school system here in Baltimore City. And I say, how in the world did the audacity to even think about shutting somebody, you know, a school like that, to helping our black boys out to achieve some success and because they succeeded and they had the nerve to think about shutting them down the way our school system is. And do you know Thursday they had a vote? Do you know it ended up being 5-5? So they said they're going to table it, I think, until tomorrow. And they say one person didn't show up or something. When I went online, it looked like it was 12 members. But then they say it's 11 members. I don't know. But still, and out of those, I counted, it was only 4 people who didn't look like us that's on that board. Only 4. But yet, I couldn't even believe that they even had a tie in the voting. You know, it seemed like it should be anonymous, but something is wrong with this picture. But taking place in Florida and all over this country, what they're doing to our system, our school, they never taught us enough, pretty much anything anyway about us. But now they've been taking the little things that we have gone for, they've taken that away from us. And if us black people, if we don't start taking a stand or taking matters in our own hands, educating our own children and things like that. Now, I sit on this organization called the National Black Council of Elders, and we are talking about working with a lot of people who work with our young people with this national rites of passage. So at least some of our children can get some wisdom and knowledge about who we are, what we're capable of doing, not going to other people to train our children. Because other cultures do this all the time. The Jewish people, Spanish people, they have all types of rites of passage for their youth. And we really think that it's time for us to have something, at least universal, because a lot of people can't get to a lot of these youth programs. Right here, I got grandchildren myself. And there's all types of youth organizations all over the city. Not a lot of them, but it's quite a few of them. But then access to them is only for a few, very few. So the majority of our children don't have access to these programs. And so with this national, maybe could be international rites of passage, that at least the child, and we're going to talk about doing it online, so that means that every child could have access to it. And therefore, we were talking about earlier today as well, how we seniors, those of us who are in the senior bracket now, how we can connect with our young folks. But I was telling Zeke earlier today, I said when I was coming up, and I asked my mother and father a question sometime because they were busy trying to make a living for us, put food on the table. I was asking, why can I do this? Why can't I? And they just say stuff to me like this because I told you so. And and that didn't help me out too much. I wouldn't have gotten in trouble anyway because I didn't have no clear-cut answers. But I went to my grandparents. When they said something to me, they would explain things to me. If you go around that corner, you might get hit by a car or a dog might bite you, something, you know. But at least I had a choice. You know, I could think about some of the dangers around that corner. Then, you know, I might think twice about doing something. But for those of us who've been around the block once or twice, it is extremely important to reach out to our young people, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We have to tell our narrative. That's why I keep expressing to us on this podcast that we need to start telling our stories. See, my father, I love him dearly. My grandfather, I knew a little teeny bit about him, but I had no clue of what they was about, what they stood for, what, you know, what they stand, what upset them, what made them do this, and what made them do that. So they didn't communicate to us like that. And so because they didn't tell their story, so I don't really, you know what my father was about or my grandfather. But I tell you one thing, my children and my children's children would know who David Murphy is because I'm documenting, I'm telling my stories in many different, in many ways, in many platforms. And because when our children hear from us, hear the real deal coming from us, and it makes a world of difference because, like I say, we know those of y'all who are in my generation know that our story, even the few people who did tell their stories, was distorted, was taken, was misleading. And like at my college, what's the miseducation of the Negro? You know, we just didn't get the real deal. You know, they cut everything up. They didn't put us in their books or their history or anything. But today, we can change that. We can change our narrative. But before we sit down, like I say, you know, it's been a long day, and usually I try to call on everybody, try to get everybody, you know, in to share information. But before we close, can you unmute yourself? Anybody want to share a little bit about their story? Because it is extremely important, again, to share your story. And just like I said today, earlier today, a gentleman shared his story with me. And now he altered me. He altered my life because now, when I think things can get a little rough, a little tough, sometimes all I got to do is think of this brother, man, and that will straighten me right up because, and I know this to be true because years ago when I was working on this job and I wasn't being treated, matter of fact, I was being discriminated against, you know, all kinds of ways. All right, somebody coming in here. But in any case, until I read autobiography about us, about a few of our people came right before me, that helped me a whole lot. So if anybody on here now before we shut it down want to share anything before we close out, and I just want to remind you before we do this that we'll be on tomorrow night with Miss Kathleen Murphy, and it's all about the National Black Unity News. But this podcast just open conversation. So anybody in closing, would you like to share anything, what's going on, what's happening? Maybe you got some products, goods, or services you'd like to share before we shut it down. Anybody?
David, real quick. Hello, everyone. This is Walter Eugene Dipsy Murphy. David, am I permitted?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Hi, y'all. I hope everyone is doing well this afternoon. My name is Walt Eugene Dipsy Murphy, and I am the Managing Director of the National Black Unity News.
This is amazing.
Oh,
well published, solution oriented periodical designed to serve the black melanated African American community. The reason that I wanted to jump in real quick is to just do one thing. About a couple of days ago, I watched this little short video on YouTube. I posted it already in the chat. And it is so well worth your self-work to get involved and to look at this for 15 minutes or 16 minutes. It is about individuals who shaped and influenced Europe during and before the Dark Ages. And I know that a lot of us are talking about Black History Month. And one of the reasons why we have it is because all the other times they're teaching everybody else's history but ours, okay? And the when they do teach ours, it's very minuscule and not very many people are involved, and it's not very in-depth. And so, when I have this real problem about slavery, yes, I do, you know, but I'm more interested in what was before that. Who are we? Who are we really? And when you get into this little video, it's going to teach you a whole lot about what happened, when it happened, and who influenced what. And the reason I'm bringing it up, I'm not involved in anybody meeting with this thing. I don't even know who made it. Okay, all I know is that Morgan Freeman, when you go on YouTube, you'll see his face, you know, during the what do you call that? I think it was the Robin Hood movie that he was in. When he was just like Black Moore, okay? And the beauty of it all is this, ladies and gentlemen, your self-worth is more than anything on this planet. I'll say this again, your personal self-worth, when you know what you know and you can do what you believe that you can do, it changes everything for you and everything else around you. To know yourself and get to do as much for yourself as you possibly can and share as much of that love as you can. Back to you, David.
Okay. 101-977. I think you were trying to chime in. I don't see you now. I see 101-977. Can you unmute yourself?
Hello?
Yes, how you doing?
Hi, this is Sister Kilolo. How's everybody?
Well, I'm great. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm doing fantastic.
All right. Well, let me put in something, give y'all something, marinate this on what I'm saying. First, I like what's going on because it seems like it's falling in line with what's happening in the universe. I heard something that struck my interest today about divorce in the USA. One of the politicians saying the Democrats going to divorce the Republicans because they're not getting no fair shake. I wondered what our rights are when it comes down to thinking like that, because we are dealing with an international problem. Okay, that's one thing. I'm going to just marinate on it. I want y'all to marinate on that one. The second thing was the school thing that you were talking about. I did hear about it, and I had got some advice on, like you say, the other cultures who have schools for their children. They call them, they got a name for those schools. They begin with an M. And what they do is because you have a problem, not problem, but speak another language and understand a different kind of dialect, they call them martyr schools or matrix. I mean, I can't get the name right. But anyway, there's schools set up for us like they are for other cultures, and we can utilize that as a source of educating our own, using our own arts and things of that nature. The other thing is the circulation of your magazine. I think we need to get it out there a little more amongst the people in the community from Baltimore, okay, because a lot of people are not familiar with you. So find, you know, maybe work on something trying to stretch it out to the barbershops and beauty shops and people who have access to places where people are looking for another way out, okay? The last thing I want to say is Eartha, and y'all know Eartha, she got a shop, her place together where you are able to, and that's local Baltimore, she's able to have affairs at her tight-knit group that she got established. And Eartha's the one that put together the Million Man March. She's into that kind of stuff, and I think all of y'all know her, but she has a place on York Road, which is in Baltimore, where we can have events and raise money, okay? So I just want to put that out there and let y'all think about it. But that divorce thing, knowing what our rights are, because we keep going back to the people who created the problem and asking them to fix it. So we singing the same song, okay? We need to just move away and just divorce them and do our own thing. We're just talented enough. We just got to get out of the fear because we're the most educated ones on the planet, especially the black women, because we're the college educated ones, not that the men are not, but we are able to pull it, help pull it off. And Joy and I are working with children anyway. They're middle passage, and I'm putting education and those type of people as well. They need some groundwork, like she said, as well as the technology, but the groundwork start with the basics before they get to the technology, because they got a lot of technology out there, but some of them young kids don't know how to even tie their shoes, and they got $100 shoes on, 10 years old. So we need the base. We need the men for the basics to teach these boys, and that's the school that they said they shut down on Kirk Avenue. So I'm familiar with it, okay? I'm going to just leave that alone and let y'all think about it. I'm Sister Kilolo, and a lot of people know how to get in touch with me, and I'm still working out with the Maryland Council of Elders trying to put something together, okay? Any questions?
All right, I appreciate that. Really do.
Okay.
All right, got you.
Hey, David. Good evening. First, in response to Kilolo, were you referring to a Metco school?
It's called that's similar pronunciation.
Montessori school.
Montessori, yes, the Montessori
school.
You know what I'm saying, then, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Thing I wanted to add, David, I had a question for you. I was thinking about, remember we had talked about remember the story, the ghosts of Roxbury, and like the, we had talked about reaching out and how to speak to people who are in the recovery process and things like that.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you had any ideas on how I could put myself out there more to get myself into that avenue. I already started and signed up for a certification course for a substance abuse recovery training. And I really wanted to talk to people, but I didn't know where to go. So I figured maybe I could reach out to you and maybe you could just point me in the right directions of these places, because I feel like there's a lot of people. And now, right now, like the people I know, they're older, but this problem is already dropping down to these kids. They're 19, 20 years old, and they're on some hard stuff.
Yes,
friends who are only, I know people, women who are only 23 years old, and they're on the worst drugs ever. And it's not even the stuff that people even think about. It's not, the dope. It's the new designer stuff, and that stuff is killing faster, much faster, and it's hard, and it's something. And I really was trying to figure out how I could put myself out there more, get to speak to people and find more information so I could be more of a voice to what it fuels me so much.
Okay. There's a gentleman, he was on early, by the name of Archie Lee. Not only did he live it, but he wrote a book on it. He is a counselor too, And there's quite a few people in this town that I can introduce you to. But I want y'all to know, this is Miss Holiday from Boston, Massachusetts. And she was in our previous issue. And this young lady has a powerful story herself. She's been through a lot herself to be so young, But she's willing to step up and stand out to support others, because she don't want that to happen to anybody else. So some of the things that happened to her, and now she's reaching out to those who have all types of afflictions and addictions and things like that. So yes, give me a call tomorrow, and I'll get you to meet some people that can assist you. Okay.
But again, it's still just lovely to sit in these meetings and listen to everyone talk and get a feel for the world and to see what ideas everybody has to put out there. It's a beautiful thing. You guys are wonderful. Don't stop what you're doing.
I appreciate that. And she's right, because like I said, everybody on here, and I know 90% of you on it, there's three people. There's some phone numbers or Samsung or something. I may not know exactly who that is. But Zeke or Samsung, before we shut down, y'all want to share anything before we leave? If you do, just unmute yourselves. Okay. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, again, we'll be on tomorrow night. And Sister Kathleen Murphy, as well as Walter Dempsey Murphy, will be hosting our podcast. And a lot, listen, let me just say this to you in closing. You know that old saying, we come a long way, but we have a long way to go. Yes, we are connecting dots, you know, and people, everybody's bringing something to the table and that we all can feast upon. And but it takes, this is not a drill, I always say. This is true warfare. We need every man, woman, and child. Our children are dying in the streets. Our people are suffering. Our seniors are going through all types of atrocities. People, you don't even realize, just on the news today, they were just showing people in our park, right here in Baltimore, seniors, rats and mice running all over, and they get no support from the landlords and stuff, you know, but yet they want the rent money on time and stuff like this. Our water bills are extremely high. Bill Gooden, my partner, I scream about that all the time. Paying
my daughter's 12. She just attended 2 funerals. Kids got stabbed at her school.
Yeah.
2 funerals in less than a month.
And you know, see, this is the thing happening all over. In Baltimore, teenagers are dying every day in our city. And so all of these things, and we keep, like you, somebody said it earlier, we keep running to other folks to cure us or to heal the things that's happening. That's not going to happen. It's up to us. It's up to us. And we have, and again, we have everything we need, but the only thing that we have to do, we need each other. And we have to learn that. And because when we start working together, like I say, it's happening. But, you know, what has destroyed us for this many years, it's going to take some time. So I just don't want you to get this discouraged. I don't want you to give up or give in. Like I say, this is a marathon, you know, just one battle at a time. And if you don't know about the National Black Unity News, I'm talking that the Black News is a paper. It's a newspaper, and it do what it's supposed to do. But the real deal is this. It's the people behind this publication. This is where our true strengths lie there. See, we got Brother High Key, Cliff, and everybody on it. See, we talk to one another. We share information with one another. We uplift one another. And see, that's where the true power of Brother Ross Bookie, he and I talk quite often. Beverly Williams, you know, Zeke, I would talk, you know, it's just joy. All of us, you know, we all have communication. We need to talk to one another. And you will be surprised that most of the things that we need personally, they have, and vice versa. But we have to start communicating with one another. I sit at a table today, and Zeke is on here now, and he can be my witness. But I sit around with just 4 of us. One lady owned a museum, Sankofa. Zeke, who's been around, and he used to do a lot of network marketing and a lot of other stuff, too. He's into health and everything else. And he was there. There was another brother there who's been through so many things in his lifetime. I'm talking about, that's the brother I was talking about that had been through so much, been to Vietnam, came back all broken up. And the brother was orphaned and he had tuberculosis as a child. I mean, this brother went through so much and then came, after all of that, after coming back from the war, couldn't even get a job. It couldn't get no help. You know, stuff like this, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, they not going to do for us. And again, we have to open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds up to each other. And just keep in mind now, I want you to caution you in closing, everything that look like us ain't for us. There's an enemy without and there's an enemy within. We have to check on one another. You know, people can talk the talk, but you got to check their history. You got to check their stories, their research. I mean, research them before you get aligned up with somebody, alliance and all that kind of stuff, or you link up with somebody. Check them out first, because there's a lot of people who have what they think they call a gift of gab, a tinkling brass, as some call it. You know, we have many people who's in ministries and stuff, man, they can talk that talk, but they're not doing anything for the people. So again, you know, don't just think because we look like each other that we are for each other. But there are, ladies and gentlemen, a host of people out there who are sincere, who care. And a lot of people, right, most everybody on here falls in this category. They really care and are helping doing things in their own individual ways. In spite of the politicians, those who talk that talk and not doing anything, but don't worry about that. You do what you can do, and if you search hard enough or you just look around, you start talking, you'll find a lot of people that's in your corner that will support you, will stand by you, stand with you. And so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's getting late for me. I'm about ready to shut down. But again, I appreciate each and every one of you. And we got work to do. And the National Black Unity News is a powerful tool that most of us use to get our information out to the masses of people. We're a young publication, but we are, as I keep telling you, we are the number one black circulated newspaper in the nation right now. And we haven't even, just like the young Sister Kilo said, well, and too many people in Baltimore heard of it. But, you know, like I said, we only been around 5 or 6 years, and we just don't cater to Baltimore. We cater to, you know, the whole country. And we making some noise, but we ain't nowhere near reaching the masses of people. That's when the family steps up. Because each one of us have our own networks. And so if you have a network, and if you know of people who need this publication, then you share it with them. We can make it happen for you. But share the information with your own network, because just like I said today, when I heard someone else's story, see, somebody read your story, read your information, it alters their lives. Words do not come back void. And we have some powerful people with powerful information. Our people need, that's why a lot of us are not doing anything, because we are confused because of the information we are getting from other sources. But come on home, check us out, check our track record, check the people behind the publication, check the people involved with this publication, and you'll find there's some powerful, powerful people who are doing great and wonderful things. And we're looking forward, we're adding people to the family every issue. And we thank each and every one of you. Like I said, it does take the village. And the village is finally coming together. And I'm so pleased with it, because there is hope. Always has been hope. We just need to recognize one another. And I'm gonna say, with that being said, Brother Satawi, I thank you for co-hosting and sharing Blog Talk Radio with us. And those who are on Facebook Live, we appreciate you. Get involved. You know, we can't talk the talk. It's time to get involved. Every man, woman, and child. This is not a drill. This is warfare, ladies and gentlemen. We are dying. We are being put in all types of bondages. But there is hope right here on this call right now. We have a lot of people who are doing things, planning on doing things, and making things happen. And so, you know, there is hope. Thank you. And I'm going to say good night. Take care.
Good night, all.
See you tomorrow.
Good night, man.
Goodbye.